Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
It's just different.
Yeah. Bar Podcast. Biblical Reform, let's go.
Yeah, welcome to the bar. Come on and pull up a seat and open up your Bible. What a wonderful feast. The living bread, and we're discussing what it means for the streets, the inner cities, and the burbs, and every person we meet. This is where we challenge worldviews that we hear from world news. In light of the scripture, yo, we are here to serve you. We're your source for resources to help you on your way as you battle mean forces. Yo, this is for the people who can see the importance of sound theology and the scripture that support it. Yeah, this is for the truth lovers, biblically reforming, preaching Christ to the nations. Yeah, the nations. Welcome to the modern reformation. Yeah,
welcome everybody to the bars. Boy, Dwayne in the building, right back in here another Tuesday. I say back in here, man, but I'm not in here that much. But I'm glad you're listening through your earbuds, through your speakers, where you listen to the bar. We're grateful that you're listening. And this is not a old recording. This isn't a rewind or a replay. This is actual live in 2024. And I'm hosting the show, man. And I'm super excited. I got a cool guest that's a repeat offender. I guess we hadn't scared him off enough because he keep asking to come back. But we'll get into that just a second, man. Before we do, man, I definitely have to shout out my team, man. Shout out to Nick and Jessica. Nick handles the audio and social media things. And Jessica handles all the video. That's why you see we got video now, and I'm on video. You can see my pretty face and my guest pretty face. Then I also have to shout out my brother David for guest hosting the podcast while guy has me in other areas doing other things, man. So have to shout my team out, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here to talk to my good friend, my brother. If you listen to the podcast, you don't have the pleasure to see this young man, but this is my brother, David. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, it's good to be with you, brother, once again. And you haven't scared me away, so I guess that's a good thing, man.
That's a good thing, I guess. Either you're crazy or I am. Either one of the two.
Well, I think people are pretty well established that I'm pretty well nuts. So
I got it, Dave. Well, listen, man, so every time you come on, it's usually for a reason. And this time is like all the other times, man. But for those that may be new to Mr. Dave and don't know who you are, give a little background, man, and then we'll talk about why we're here.
Well, the most important thing is I'm saved by the grace of God. You know, he saved me at the age of 5. And, you know, like everybody, I had my own share of challenges that we'll talk about today. I serve as the executive director of Servants of Grace Ministries, a ministry I started at the age of 19. I'm happily married to my beautiful wife, Sarah. Outside of my salvation, she's the greatest gift to me, greater than any other way that God could use me. She's just such a blessing. And, you know, then I podcast a bit. I write books, and now we have a publishing company attached to our ministry with this book. And, you know, just hand to the plow, staying faithful, trying to speak out on a lot of different things, hopefully helpfully and definitely biblically, and staying true to those Reformed theology. So there you go. That's a little bit about me.
I love it, man. I love it. And congratulations on the publishing thing, man. I know that's not a easy task. A lot of work goes into that, man. So, all right, man, let's talk about this book, man. Let's talk about the one that's on the way to my house. I hadn't made it here yet. So give us the title. Let's get into it.
Well, as of this recording, you know, it just went out to everybody yesterday. So nice. From the printer. So the book is Contentment, The Journey of a Lifetime. So I really wrote this book. When I wrote this book, I didn't realize that I needed this book. So this book, one of my friends says this is the most vulnerable that he's ever seen me. He's known me for quite a while, probably a decade or so. And in the book, I'd really talk about a lot about how the Lord has worked in my life through a variety of different situations. But I should say, in case you just heard that as I talking about myself, anybody that knows me well knows I don't point to myself. Even when I am sharing, you know, a story or whatever, I'm using that as an illustration, really, to point you to God's word and to point you to the help that we have in God's grace. But probably the most fascinating part of this book is I use Pilgrim's Progress and kind of overlay that, use that story to really illustrate this idea of contentment. And for those of you that may not be familiar with John Bunyan, you know, he was actually in prison when he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim's Progress, next to the Word of God, is the second best-selling book, you know, of all time. And so it really details a journey, a story of Pilgrim's Progress does, of, you know, a Christian in the story going from his house. I mean, who doesn't leave their house, right, to go to work or whatever? So we can all identify right there.
I'm just kidding.
yeah, exactly. That's you know what? That's an important clarification. But Christian goes on this journey and he gets distracted. Who doesn't get distracted? Okay, everybody. But he gets distracted and then he has this guy named Evangelist come along, and what Evangelist does is he tells him the truth, and he keeps getting distracted. But eventually he has a backpack that he's wearing. And eventually this backpack falls off. Well, this backpack, remember, this is an allegory, so don't take it too seriously, but it illustrates a reality of the righteousness of God that is in Christ. And so what Christian has done is he's heard the gospel from Christian, and he's repented and put his hope and trust in Christ. And then Christian learns about studying the Bible, about spiritual warfare, and then this whole journey is him going to the celestial city, heaven. And so I overlay that story, for those of you that aren't familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, I overlay this story on top of my book using various situations in the life of Christian to show, you know, biblical truth and those kind of things. And so when I this book wasn't hard to write substance wise, but it was very much an application project. So in that way, even if the reader, you know, for some reason isn't helped, I hope that you are. You know, I was helped more than anybody would ever do in writing this book. You know, it really was an application project. And we can talk about that if you want.
Oh, we will. Yeah, no. those has been around a while. I do something when I get an idea or I get something sparked something. I cross my fingers. So my fingers were already crossed because you know, you reference the application aspect on a personal level, as you know, as much as you want to share, just talk about that. Talk about that process and what ways did you pretty much apply it and into your own personal life.
Yeah, that's good. You know, well, let's start in high school. You know, I was really good at golf. I could have gone pro, not like PGA like pro, but I was good enough to be a club pro and maybe compete in, you know, some mini tours or whatever. You know, I was a scratch. For those of you that know anything about golf, I was a scratch golfer, actually better than scratch golfer. So I was really good. You know, I bomb my drives like 320, 350. But what I realized is that, you know, years later, is golf had really become an idol for me. And even before that, you know, other sports that I was playing had become an idol. They became the most important thing. I was attaching meaning, ultimate meaning and ultimate value and ultimate worth to those things. But then as I started processing this book, I realized not only I've been doing that since childhood, I've been doing that as an adult. And for those of you that don't know, I've been in ministry my whole entire adult life. And so, you know, there have been various things where, you know, whether that's, you know, even looking to your pastor can become an idol, as shocking as that is. You know, you can go to your pastor more. That would look like going to your pastor more than you're going to the Lord in prayer. Guilty, you know. And so like when we moved, for example, from you know, Idaho to California, this is where I started writing this book, and the Lord was really working on me in this area because I needed to go to the Lord first and foremost with all of my cares. In fact, I think that the Lord took my wife and I out of Idaho and brought me to California. I think it's safe to say there in his providence to really get me not to be isolated and alone. We were not isolated and alone in any way. We were in a good church and everything, and I had plenty of accountability all over the place. So I wasn't isolated. Don't hear that. And I wasn't alone. I wasn't a Lone Ranger Christian because there is no such thing. But the Lord took me to California really to grow me in this area and to address some things in my life that needed to be addressed. And he did. And it wasn't fun those first few years to be away from, you know, people that I really cared about, people that I'd invested in, but I needed it. And so when I say that this was an application project, really, it just gave me the opportunity to really examine and assess how am I really doing at the things that, you know, I talk about, how am I doing it? Really practicing those things. It's because it's easy to, you know, it's easy to flap your gums. It's easy to talk the talk, but it's like, how are you doing it? Walking the walk. And it's important that we know good theology. It's important that we be steeped in, you know, in the mind, in the heart with good theology. But, you know, especially as Reformed people, we have a rich tradition of this, you know, following from the Reformers and the Puritans of what somebody like Joel Beakey would call Reformed spirituality, that is a walking out of it, not just talking about it, but walking it out. And the Puritans were so concerned about this. And so that's kind of where I was. I mean, that's for every day, but I'm saying that in this particular season, as I was working on this book, the Lord was really, really working on me. And just evaluating, assessing, asking questions. You say you believe this. Well, how's that in your life? How are you doing it? This is what we need to do more of. This is 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And asking questions like, how am I doing? Isn't navel gazing. It's not being overly concerned to be introspective, but it is examining your life in a godly way. And even you might need a biblical counselor to help you or a pastor to help you, because you realize I'm really not doing so well with that habitual sin as I think I am. I'm not really turning from it. I'm actually going back to it. I'm going back to that trough again and again and again. And so I need some help. And so something like this, what contentment is very simply, is it's a disposition of the heart. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. So that's in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then this peace being made real in our experience, that's Philippians 4:6-8, that peace of God that passes all understanding. We've been united to Christ by faith. We've been indwelt by the Spirit. And so we have this hope. So we not only have peace with God in terms of our relationship with God, but we have this peace that's being made real in our experience. And this is the disposition and the reality of what it means to be, you know, in Christ. We have peace with God. And that peace is being made real in our experience. I know where you come from and your experience, you know, coming out of the NAR, that people hear that and they're like, I get kind of nervous, you know, because it's all about in the NAR, it's all about experience. But there is a Christian way to view our experience. Philippians 4:9 says that, you know, put into practice the things that he's talking about. James 1:22, don't be hearers, but doers of the word. And so we have to be careful. We have to push back against that NAR perspective, but we also have to push back on the other side and say there is a walking out of the Christian life. There is, because we're united to Christ by faith, we have this communion with Christ, and then there's this walking out. We're told to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we've received. And so we have to be careful about what we're saying, but we still have to say it, and we still have to walk it out, because this is the good theology. And this is to be lived out, you know. So practically, you know, when you face trials and temptation and suffering, raise your hand if you don't. Raise your hand if you get anxious or discouraged or whatever.
Right.
God has something to say about all of those things, and he helps us to deal with it. You know, I'll use one more story. In 2012, my dad came back into my life after 6.5 years of being, you know, gone. And there's a lot of backstory to that. But very simply, we learned that he had frontotemporal dementia at that time. Mm. And through this, around the same time, I just graduated seminary. And what I realized I was studying the book of Hebrews. And so what I was discovering more and even learning more about was the utter sufficiency of Christ at that time. Mm. And man, I tell you what, if you have a parent that has dementia or memory issues, I have two of them now, actually. My mom has Alzheimer's, and this will test you in ways that you have never been tested ever. Mm. So what it really made me realize, as with all these situations that we all face, is how much do I trust the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy again to talk about trust, but when you have to deal with hospital and nurses and doctors and how are you doing it? How are you going to do it being patient with people? How are you going to do it not getting mad and upset? Raise your hand if you struggle with those too. Right. You know, and all of these opportunities, all of these things are opportunities to really reveal what's in our heart. What do we treasure most? What do we love most? What do we value most? And this is a process. This is why the subtitle is A Journey of a Lifetime, because contentment is hard work. It's gospel work. It's the work that the Spirit is trying to produce in us, so that we can face these situations with help. It doesn't mean that we're never going to, you know, it means we're going to fail. There's no perfection, right, the side of heaven. We're not glorified yet,
right?
But we have to pick ourselves up. There's many toils and snares, as the Puritans talk about, as the hymn writers talk about, and we have to pick ourselves up. That's why I think there's that hymn, "It is well with my soul." I think if you're anything like me, we can sing that song or that hymn, and we can just kind of give lip service to the theology behind it, love the theology. But do you really think about what those words mean? Do you really think about how they're being lived out in your life? And so I had to ask myself some questions. How am I doing? How are things really, beyond just like, okay, I'm reading my Bible. Am I taking what I'm reading in God's word? And is it becoming true in my life? And can other people see that I'm really trusting the promises of God, and my parents' dementia? Can the doctors see that? Can the nurses see that? And can other people in my church see that? Can people, when they listen to a podcast or in the books, do they see that I'm making progress in these things? I think even we could say Paul told Timothy that the progress should be evident, right?
Right.
We're supposed to Second Peter actually 1, we're supposed to add these qualities, and these qualities are things that the Spirit are producing there in 2 Peter 1. And so this was an eminently application project for me. And I think that we all need to have and do a better job. I know lots of people who are very smart theologically. They have tons of knowledge. They're way smarter than me theologically. But where they struggle the most is asking questions. What does this mean to me, but how do I take this and apply it to my life? Or how do I apply it to my finances, my relationship, my marriage, the tough situations and people, to my work? And they get really lost You know, and this is why we have to ask ourselves the question, like, and I think to illustrate that, I would go to Jonathan Edwards. Edwards, you know, was America's greatest, one of America's greatest pastor, if not the greatest pastor. He was also the greatest philosopher that America ever produced. But what Edwards would do is he would go out in nature. He would ride a horse. He would go out in nature and he would journal and he would observe nature. But what he was really doing, he talks about, is he was examining his heart. And you know, when we talk about John Flavel, wrote a book, a very famous book called Keeping the Heart. And the Puritans were very concerned about this idea because it comes from Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all due diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. You know, even in that passage in Philippians 4, we discover one of the things that we're to do is to guard the heart.
Right.
So there is a keeping of the heart. There is a caring for the heart. There is a tilling of the ground through the means of grace and those kind of things. And then there's a walking out. So what I'm saying is we often want to focus, especially preachers, pastors, podcasters, the way we want to focus on speaking to people. But what we should first do is be concerned about how am I doing at this? And even talking to people, you know, personally, but, you know, pointing them away from ourselves to the Christ, the hope that is in us, and talking about it in ways that honor God, like hopefully I'm doing here. And I do in the book, just showing, hey, this is what Christ has done in me. This is what he continues to do in me. This is continual growth. You know, anybody who thinks that, you know, I'm the most gentle person or anything like that. Why don't you come drive with me sometime in the car, you know? Man, I mean, the way people drive around where I live is just, that's horrendous. You know, I'm just like, sure. That doesn't mean that I have a potty mouth, but man, I want to sometimes, you know? Sure. So, but especially when I lived in California, man, Southern California is even worse, but you know, And then there's all the ways, you know, we're prone to not be gentle with, you know, our spouse, friends, family, coworkers, and that's all of us, you know, so we all have a lot of room to grow.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I appreciate you kind of taking a deep dive into that and how it applies. And you know, first thing I'm going to do is everybody that was listening and watching that, put your hands up all those times. You can put your hands down now because I think you hit every aspect. You know, if you've ever been anxious, you've ever been angry, you know, we all can relate to that. And like I said, taking into account how we respond.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And I love that, man, because, you know, like you said, podcasters, pastors, you know, we're always we become authority figures as far as what we say and how that happens. But we also have to make sure that it applies to ourselves. So, you know, God's providence is amazing, man, because, you know, my background, you're very familiar with it. But also the world around that I run in now with fitness and motivation, a lot of times, because when I think of contentment, man, I think about people that are like super ambitious that aren't happy with where they are currently. You know, I think about that line of thinking. And not being able and feeling like, you know, I need this or I need more, but actually being content with where you are currently, you know, as far as your status or, you know, whether it's financial or whatever, man. And I remember just understanding that, you know, understanding like, okay, you know, the word of faith in me, like you're not gonna be a millionaire, you know, you gotta be content with where you are, man. So you know, I that's another aspect of contentment, man, that I think is super important in the body, man, because we can claim to be, you know, modest and, you know, meek, you know, but, you know, I'm sure you wouldn't be mad if you sold, 100 million copies, you know, you would, I don't think you'd be like, Lord, no, not me. You know, I'm content with my thousand, you know, I'm sure that's not the case because we all have things that we aspire to, man. So is there any, do you address any of that in the book as well?
Yeah, definitely I do, you know, and that's such a good way to say it, you know, and as you're talking, I'm thinking Philippians 3:9, I consider all loss. Literally, he means dung, by the way, in the Greek. The Greek word is literally dung. I consider all loss or dung, mm-hmm. if you will. So that's nothing. He considered it nothing. Now, remember, this is the Apostle Paul. He was extremely well educated, and he said that he considered all loss. All right. Lost just to knowing Christ. You know, and he, 2 Corinthians 11 says that, you know, he was shipwrecked and he was beaten within an inch of his life 39 times. You know, amazing, amazing. And yet he says it's all loss. And so there is that's counterintuitive to our flesh, right? We want what we want. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, having what we need. God will give us what we need. He'll help us to have if we pray and we ask, Lord, help me to get a job so that I can provide for my family. Send me to a godly pastor or pastors that are biblically qualified. I genuinely believe that God will do that. He will. Mm-hmm. Help me to grow in my faith. Help me to grow in your word. Help me to understand. These are prayers that God will answer because they align with his word. And so as we talk about godly ambition, that's what we're talking about. Yep. We're talking about, rather than being focused on me and my glory and my kingdom and my power and my enterprise and whatever it is, it's flipped on its head. And instead it's Christ's kingdom, Christ's glory, Christ's church, Christ's people, the word of God, loving people, loving the word, loving the church, and serving people. That's totally different and totally Absolutely. Upside down than in our flesh. We think, you know, me and my paycheck and how much money can I do? And it's just like, even if we flip that on its head in the podcasting world or whatever, it's like, it's instead of it's okay, what am I going to do to get the most numbers? And who doesn't think that? I mean, like right. you mentioned, would I be upset if a million people bought this book? No. but what would be my answer? What would be the disposition of my heart?
Right.
Well,
right.
I'd like to say that I would praise God and thank the Lord and I would write a post and say, you know, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and for how it's done. And there's nothing wrong with that. People get very you get kind of weird when you start talking about numbers even, but numbers represent real people that were really helped. And even people that give to ministries, we should give thanks to that. We should Absolutely. Show people and we should push back. You know, we shouldn't be afraid to push back and say, hey, if you're giving to this ministry, that you're giving not out of duty, out of obligation, you're giving out of the generosity of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 talk about. over and against this, oh, just give me money and, you know, you can get a purple cloth and an anointed purple cloth like Benny Hinn or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. But that's where godly ambition comes. It's really a motive of the heart. It's a disposition of the heart. It's we have this peace with God. And Paul said that he learned this. You know, Paul didn't even ask. Paul was the one church that Paul loved, and this church gave financially to Paul's ministry of tent making and you know, preaching and teaching and making churches. And we have to remember even that Philippians has a theme of joy in the Lord. In verse Philippians 4:2, he says he talks about how we're to stand firm in the Lord. So whenever you see in the Lord, in him, in Christ, all of those phrases, in Jesus, what he's talking about is he's talking about the person that belongs to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's union with Christ. So let me ask you a question. Are you in Christ? Do you believe in Christ? Well, you know, this is a Reformed podcast, so we would like to believe that everybody who would listen to this podcast is a Christian. But I ask you, have you repented and put your faith in Christ?
Right.
Have you done that? Well, absolutely. If you have, then you're in the Lord. You know, praise mm-hmm. God for that. If you're not, then you need to repent and believe. But the thing is we have great encouragement from that phrase, in the Lord. That's a gospel promise. That's gospel hope. There's genuine fuel, you know, in that phrase because of what Christ has done for us. And this provides the reminder. And like Martin Luther said, we need to remember the gospel every day, because every day we forget the gospel. Raise your hand if that's true. So that's really like, is your podcasting. We'll take the podcasting idea. We can even you can apply it to writing, to your work, or whatever. Okay, but the principle is this: as you're doing what you're doing, why are you doing what you're doing? And ask yourself: is it to serve people, to love people? You know, as you're writing books, is it for to help people really understand more of the topic, to serve them? Is it when you're podcasting? Is it for the numbers or the traffic and the attention or to provoke controversy? Or is it to speak to controversial topics and situations and other things in a way that honors the Lord, honors His Word, and aligns? This is important. Aligns with how our speech is to be as a Christian.
Mm.
And then if it doesn't align with if you're what you're saying doesn't align with not only what Scripture says and then how Scripture defines how you're to speak, then you shouldn't speak about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're just not knowledgeable enough to talk about it. And that requires humility, and it requires a question. And maybe even it requires you going to your pastor and saying, hey, do you think I should talk about this? Or I'm talking about this. Do you think that this is a real big issue?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that requires humility too. And that actually would show your pastor, hey, this person, I should probably, you know, spend some time talking to them and investing in them, because I can tell you, being the friend of many pastors, they would be deeply encouraged by that. If you went to them and said, hey, you know, I'm podcasting about this. Oh, that's great. Tell me about that. I'm talking about this and this and this and this. And what do you think about this? What are your thoughts about that? Yes. Oh, man, I can tell you, I'll even talk with some of my pastors about various things, like when I interview somebody on grief or whatever, and they come back with so many good questions. I'm like, man, that's such a good question. Right. I'm going to write that down.
Right,
You know, like I was talking about with Ed Welsh recently on grief, and this one of my pastors was a grief counselor at a hospital, you know, doing that kind of work and having grief groups. And I'm like, man, I just want to hear what you think. What should I ask him? What are some questions? And
right.
I think that kind of thing takes not only that kind of question takes not only or that kind of disposition. I mean, not only takes humility, but it also takes just being honest. Like,
absolutely.
Hey, this person has this experience. This person has this knowledge. And we have so much room to grow and to learn. You know, that's true.
So
go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, man, that, you know, I really like that. And you know, something I also do with the eldership at my church, you know, if it's, you know, because a lot of times there's a lot of controversial things floating around, and sometimes, you know, you want to respond, like you said, and you just need something, you need an outside eye or outside perspective. You know, even for Mika, we kind of talked about it before we went live. You know, I had my tank top on, and I got a little grief from some of my Reformed brothers for some of my posts that, you know, showing my before and after progress. And I went to my elders, and I was like, you know, tell me, is should I change this, or, you know, is this wrong, or give me an outside perspective. And they gave me guidance on that, you know, and how to approach it, and even, you know, how to maneuver when it's a direct, you know, which is rare, but when it does happen, like how to respond to that, man. So that's really good, Dave. So I know Nick is going to kill me if I don't do a break, so we can throw a commercial in here. So we're going to do that right here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Oh, man, Dave, we almost need a part two. You need to bring me on your show or something, man. It's so good to catch up with you and hear about things, man. So let's get into, you know, where people can find the book, where people can find you, your blog, all your information. Because you've been on here a couple of times, you know, I would hit you with the signature question. I might still do it, because some of your tests, tastes may have changed. So we'll hit you with the signature question.
Yeah, all man. Right. Awesome.
So the first bar signature question is, what kind of music do you listen to now? They'll say now.
You know, man, I'm digging, you know, Skillet, our guy, John Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I need to text him.
Right. I actually was in Spotify's top 0.01% of listeners of, you know, Spotify's for Skillet.
Nice.
So tell him Dave Jenkins, if he knows who he is. He doesn't know.
I got me. You.
But
shut up.
Yeah. I listen to Mozart, you know, classical music. And so, yeah.
Okay. Like it. Not much change besides Skillet.
Yeah.
All right, man. Next signature bar question is, what book or books are you currently reading?
Oh, my. Well, right next to me, I've got a stack of, I don't know, like probably 50 books. So books on biblical worldview. So science, scientism, church history, systematic theology, the working through the works of John Owen and Flavel. So, you know, some heady stuff, you know.
Okay. So I'm a part to that, man. Do you throw any, you know, leisure books in that, or is it mostly research work type stuff most of the time?
Yeah, you know, it's mostly just work. I just mostly read theology. Some people might wonder, do I read fiction? No. I spend the most time actually reading my Bible. I know that's like the churchy answer, but you know, it's true. You know, no, I just dig getting into God's word and just reading it and listening to it. I probably listen more than I actually read. I just like taking it in, and you know, I'm already in this will give you some idea. It's only January 19th. Of course, I finished reading the Bible in November, so I had a little bit of a head start, but I'm already almost at the end of Deuteronomy. So
already.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I love it.
I mean, you know, I just dig it, you know. And so I'll just listen to the Bible as I'm getting ready and everything, and then, you know, I spend some substantive time in prayer, you know, prayer for people that write for me, people that are gonna, you know, my friends, family, you know, those types of things, not just my requests, and you know, those are just some good things, you know. But like, just practically, you know, even if you read one or two verses of the day and then think about those things for a few minutes and then pray about what you've, heard or read, you know, that's going to be a good place to start, you know, and we're talking January 19th right now. And let's ask a question. How are you doing at that? You know, have you already fallen off the wayside? And, If not, if you have, you know what? Start.
That's
get
right.
one or two minutes. Can you read one or two verses? Answer, yes. Can you think about what you read for 1 or 2 minutes?
Answer yes.
Then can you, for 1 or 2 minutes, pray? So you just spent 5 to 7 minutes with the Lord, and you can build from there. Don't stay at 5 to 7 minutes, please. But you know, that's a good place to start. So
absolutely. No, I love that, man. I love that. All right. Last signature bar question is, what podcasts or sermons have you been listening to lately?
Podcasts. So I don't really listen to any podcasts.
I don't.
So I video it a lot. So I don't really listen to any of those. I should listen to more sermons, but I don't, other than, you know, my pastor and those kind of things. And so, but I do enjoy, actually, when I get the opportunity, I love to watch AJTV, mm-hmm. American Gospel.
Yes.
A shout out to Brandon, and we do need to get you on Equip You in Grace here soon, so we'll have to make that happen.
Let me know.
That's kind of what we're doing. So what I love.
Good deal, man. All right, brother. Well, to close us out, give you an opportunity to hit up, let everybody know where to find you, your stuff, your book. Make sure you guys get the book. We'll make sure we have it in the show notes. And I will definitely post and tweet about mine when it arrives. So if you don't have it, you'll be jealous of me by then. Either way, man, I also want to thank you for offering to come on the show with me. You know, Dave was like, David is cool, but I'd much rather be with you. So don't take it personal, David.
David's a homie too, man. I'm still waiting for him to respond to my message, so my email. But hey, Dave, if you're listening to this, man, you're awesome, brother. So thank you for all you do and expose the word in here too.
Hey,
so
he's an amazing guy, man. But I appreciate it, brother. Real talk.
Yeah. So you can find all the stuff, all the things at servantsofgrace.org, you know, our podcast articles, whatever. We have a shop there now. We have 300 products, you know, for whether you're a guy, we got, you know, clothes, all that clothes and stuff and journals, ladies, same thing.
Nice.
For ladies and then kids as well. And then, you know, we also have my books there. So you can get this
one-stop shop.
Yeah, you can get my book, Contentment, The Journey of a Lifetime, and it'll go out to you within a day or two or so. And that's where you can find everything. And I'm on social media, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. So I think I'm on Truth Social, although I don't post there. I pretty much stay on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram now.
Right.
Those other ones are kind of dead, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So
you can find me. I try to go everywhere, but it's like, if I see that's not doing anything, you know, it's
not
like,
worth whatever. The time.
It's not worth the. It only takes like 2 seconds to post, but it's, you know.
Two seconds is a lot, man. We just talked about 7 minutes of reading, thinking, and praying. So
yeah.
2 seconds is a lot. If there's no fruit wear or whatever. So I get it. But listen, bro, thank you again for coming on, man, to the Bar Podcast. Listeners, thank y'all for continuing to listen to this podcast, continue to spread the word about it. I also want to remind you guys that I just launched a brand new podcast called For Truth Podcast, me and three other brothers. So you can check that out. I'll make sure we have the link to that in the show notes. Actually, I think I might put an episode on the Bar Podcast channel so you guys can check us out, man. Really cool. Three brothers that we knew each other. Actually, we met through social media. We connected for the first time at G3. And then we during the pandemic, our families did Bible studies together every Friday. And those conversations turned into a podcast. And we released the podcast on January 15th. And we did a little different. You guys know I'm a fan of R&B and hip hop. And so we released it like an album. So side A of Four True Podcast is available, which is all 5 episodes. And side B will be available soon. So make sure you guys check that out, man. And God bless y'all, man. We appreciate you. Till next time, we're out of here. We'll be right back.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.